All right, we're in John chapter 17 this morning. We're on week two of Jesus Teach Me to Pray. So if you want to find John chapter 17, for those of you that are contractors, I apologize. I'm going to make you very uncomfortable and I'm going to cause you anxiety and angst. Are you ready? My dad, he was a school teacher, taught physics for 35 years in a public school. Dad also had his own private contracting business. And he had a one-man, two-man crew, not a very big crew. But during the summers, he would give me the privilege and pleasure of working with him. When I was younger, he employed me to pick up all the pieces of wood. He'd pay me $2, and that would be my day's work. As I got older, he taught me to use this. Do you know what this is? No, this is not a hammer. This is a first-class lever. This is what it's called when you work with a man that teaches physics. Son, get me the first-class lever. Okay, Dad. He taught me how to read a tape measure. And he got pretty frustrated with me. Hey, Dad. The board needs to be 10 and 4 lines past the 10. 4 little lines. Dad, I don't know what that means. Then he called back, that's 10 and 3 quarters. No, I don't have 3 quarters, Dad. It's 10 and 3 lines. Then, of course, he'd always teach me, you measure twice, cut once. I listened. I cut twice and measured once. A little bit short. So I just figured that he wanted me to learn how to stretch a board. Just put a bigger inclined plane. You know what an inclined plane is, right? This is an inclined plane machine. We don't use screws. We use an inclined plane. You know what really happens? You want to know how to make a contractor mad? You use this as a screwdriver and you use this as a hammer. I'm just telling you for a friend, this is not a good place to hit a nail. It's bad. Right, Jerome? It's bad. You know, you can pound a screw in, but then you have to replace the fulcrum when you try to pull the screw out. That's really bad. He took years to try to teach me, and I give you good news and bad news. Good news is I learned. Bad news is I didn't learn enough to make me employed, so I'm not a contractor. I know enough to make me dangerous. I do not know enough to make me employed. I know enough that the maintenance team doesn't want to see me coming with my hammer. Friends, beloved, I can destroy anything in about a matter of 2 minutes. For me to put it back together, it's prayer and fasting. It's going to be tough. Jesus took time for 3 years, 3.5 years, to lead the disciples into their job, into their mission, into what God had called them to do. And we're in John 17, and it's at the very last moments. As you read through, these are really one of the last words that we have of Jesus in recorded scripture. And he takes the time to pray for himself, verses 1-3. He then takes time to pray for the disciples in verses 6-19. And then he prays for us, the future believers, which is next week in 20 through the rest of the chapter. So by now you should be in John chapter 17, verses 6-19, as we look at the example and model of Jesus and what he taught the disciples through his prayer. And then we can look at this and say, what can I learn from Jesus praying for the disciples in John 17. It's going to be a little bit different message this morning. It's really difficult to come in to a passage midway through, specifically to a prayer halfway through, and then pull a whole message without losing the context. So I've structured the message this morning a little bit different than I normally do. I'll save the questions at the end based upon the outline I give you. Jesus is a reflection in John 17, verses 6-11. As we lean in, I can't look at this hammer and not remember my dad looking at me as a teenager. He said, "Now, son, you're taking my good last name with you. Don't mess it up." I was never bad. I was very mischievous. And if you're a mom that has a boy, that would be a great place for you to say amen. Because most boys, I would say, at least myself, I wasn't necessarily bad. I was just pretty mischievous. And if you know me, you're saying, what's changed? Not much. Pray for Holly. John chapter 17, Jesus is saying to the disciples and praying to God, saying, God, I want to be a reflection of you. I want to be a reflection of what God is. Verse 6, Jesus says, and he's praying. Remember, he's in the posture of prayer. We're coming into a prayer that we started last week. He's looking up to heaven. He's crying out in the most intimate way. Hey, Dad, it's your son talking. I need you. In the most difficult time of my life, I need you to make sure that I behave in such a way that brings you honor and glory. He starts in verse 6. He says, I have manifested your name to the men. Let's pull this apart. Jesus is praying, eyes up to heaven, hands open, in a posture of prayer, saying, God, I have shown. Manifested means showing or demonstrating. I have displayed your name. Really, when he says your name, he's talking about the character of God. So what he's really saying is, God, I have shown or manifested or displayed your character, your name to the men. And I just wonder this morning, how are you doing at showing and displaying the character of God? Are you a good example? Are you a bad example? For how you handle situations, for how you interact with people, are you showing people a good example for the name of God? You know, it's really fun. It's really interesting. As a pastor, you get to talk to people. I'm thinking specifically on planes. You sit down beside someone and they say, oh, hey, you know, where are you going? Oh, I'm going here. What are you doing? Where are you going? I'm going here. Oh, wow. You know, what do you do? Oh, I'm this. What do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh, stewardess, flight attendant, can I change seats? They're stuck beside me for 6 hours. So I've learned to change my delivery. What do you do? And I talk about them, and then they say, what do you do? Oh, I work for a nonprofit. Wow, that's great. What do you do? You know, oh, I work, you know, it's a worldwide national nonprofit. Oh, that's great. Yeah, what is it? I haven't told them yet. And I said, my boss, by far, best boss ever, he's out of this world awesome. Really? Wow. You know, they're all hooked in. And what do you do? And it's a global enterprise. Oh, wow. Have I heard of it? Yeah, you have. It's called the church. I'm a pastor. Oh. But friends, we make some light to really people looking at us. Are we displaying the character of God? Are we displaying the character of God in a way that brings God glory? Hours before the trial, the flogging, and the crucifixion of Jesus, he's able to pray, God, I've shown your name. I've demonstrated your character to the men, to the disciples. How are you doing at showing the character of God to a world that is watching? Whom you gave me out of the world, they were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. This verse challenged me. The first part challenged me. The second part ministered to me. As I think about the disciples, we always think the best about people, and we should, especially the disciples. But I often thought, you know, it's really interesting about the disciples. Here comes Peter. Peter was the one that looked at Jesus and was able to walk on water until he took his eyes off of Jesus. And what happened? He started to fall. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Again, Peter, he looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, you're not going to die. I'll stop it. And Jesus says, Peter, you need to stop. Get behind me. This is what I'm here to do. And Peter says, Lord, you know, even if everybody else leaves you, I won't. I have got your back, Jesus. Hours later, here comes a little girl saying, aren't you with Jesus? And Peter ends up swearing at the little girl saying, I have no idea what you mean. The disciples, they argue with one another over who's the greatest and who's going to sit at the place of honor. These instances, they minister to me because Jesus is praying for them and saying, you gave me yours and you gave them to me and they've kept your word. Notice they've walked in obedience to what God's word has said. They have not walked in perfection. Allow that to minister to you. That the disciples, they continually walk in obedience. They do not walk in perfection. And I mean this with the most humble way possible. If we are looking for perfect people, I need to step down. But what we're looking for is people to walk in obedience to what God's word says. Hours before the crucifixion of Christ, he's praying for disciples and he's saying, you gave them to me and they walked in obedience. Friends, this morning, are you walking in obedience to God's word? He keeps praying. He says, now they've come to know that everything you have given me is from you. They have come to know. They've taken them 3 years that Jesus has walked beside the disciples. It took me a while to understand that this is a hammer and that this is a drill. And you shouldn't use a drill as a hammer. You shouldn't use a hammer as a drill. There's times that I've had to learn. There's times I've made mistakes. There's times to realize and know that sometimes I need to learn from my mistakes. And Jesus is praying for these disciples, and he said to them, hey, listen, they've come to know, they've come to realize the years of Jesus walking beside the disciples. No, this isn't the way we're doing it. This is the way we're doing it. No, not this way, this way. They've come to know after years of walking with Christ. What did they know? That everything you've given Jesus is from you. They've come to understand, know, believe, and apply that truth. He takes it even further. He says, for the words which you gave me, I've given to them. Notice what Jesus is doing. Notice what discipleship is. My dad taught me about construction. You know who taught my dad? His dad. You know who taught his dad? Probably his dad. And it passed from generation to generation to generation. And Jesus, and what he's saying is, the words which you gave me, God, I have given them. Jesus came with a mission, and he's come to teach God's word. And the words that God gave Jesus, he's given to the disciples. He's taken time over the 3 years to teach them what it is and what it's not. This is a great model for discipleship, teaching people what you know. Now, friends, listen, I'm not going to teach you how to do carpentry work because I don't really know. I know enough to make me dangerous. I do not know enough to make me employed. But Jesus says, God, Dad, I've come with your truth and your word. I've taken that which you've given me, and they've received it, they've heard it, they've understood it, they believed it, and now they're practicing it. It's no greater joy for a teacher than to have an apprentice learn the tricks of the trade and then practice those. And he says, they've received this truth, and they have understood that I've come from you, and they have believed. They don't just know. They believe it. They believe it, and it has changed their lives. He says, I ask on their behalf. Don't miss this. There is a great opportunity of ministry and the power of prayer. It's why we're so passionate. It's why I'm so passionate about prayer cards. When you fill out the prayer cards, very few have been filled out that I can really go and minister. Some of you are talking about cancer. Some of you are talking about medical procedures. And friends, I'm fascinated by that, but I don't know the first thing about it. But what I can do is I can talk to the one who does know, and I could talk to the one that does understand. And I can intercede on your behalf. And you know that I know that I can't help you, but I can pray that God would minister to you, that there be comfort, there be peace, there be joy, there be a contentedness as you go through these difficult times. Look at verse 9. Jesus is praying for these 11 disciples, and he's saying, I'm asking on their behalf. Friends, I wonder this morning if you took this prayer card and you took one of the five blanks and you put in someone's name specifically and you prayed for them. And then you took it a step further and went to them and you said, you're on my prayer card. I'm praying for you. With specificity, John Doe, I'm praying for you. As you walk through this time with your career, as you may need a new career, that you would get the same amount of pay and the same benefits. And I'm going to ask God that you get the weekends off. If you're the one that has been prayed for, there's a ministry there that you know that that person can't help you, but they're calling on heaven to help you. And that's such a ministry. You go up to that lady, Jane Doe, and you talk to her and say, I'm praying for that test result. I can't help you. I don't even understand what you told me, but I'm praying specifically for you and your health. You're on my prayer card. That God would, that he would take that away. And if he doesn't take it away, that there would be such comfort, peace, and joy that while you go through this, you can have the joy of Jesus. And you walk away from that conversation and hear me, nothing's changed within you physically, but everything has changed because someone's praying for you specifically. Just imagine the disciples standing beside Jesus as he's praying, and Jesus is specifically praying for them. You think they were pretty excited? I would be. What would it look like for you to specifically pray for someone? You know what's going on in other people's lives, but for you to call, text, visit, and say, you made the prayer card. I'm praying specifically for you. I'm asking on your behalf. Look at the specificity. Jesus has the 11 disciples in mind. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world. He's not praying for everyone. He's praying specifically for the 11 disciples. Is it wrong to pray big prayers, general prayers? No, don't mishear what I'm saying. But Jesus is setting the example to have a very narrow focus on these 11 disciples. But for those whom you've given me, for they are yours. And all the things that are mine are yours, and all the things that are yours are mine. Notice in verse 10, from verse 10 through the rest of this chapter or this prayer, there's going to be this theme of unity. So if you want to write in your margin, starting in verse 10, unity. We're going to see unity in 10 and 11, and next week we're going to see a lot about unity. So verse 10, Jesus is praying, God, I want these disciples that they know your truth and that they understand that I am yours and yours are mine, that I have been glorified in them. I no longer am in the world. Jesus is going back to the Father. He just has to go back to the Father through the cross. And he says, yet they themselves are in the world. We're going to be separated. You look at John 14, the disciples, they have this nervousness about them. And they say, Jesus, we want to go with you. But we don't know how. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So I'm no longer in the world, and they themselves are going to be left behind in the world. I come to you, Holy Father. You have homework this afternoon. One commentator, and I haven't proven it, I haven't looked at it, so I'm asking you to do it. Let me know if it's true. One commentator said in John 13 through John 17, the name Father is used 53 times. Is that true? I don't know. I'm giving that to you for homework, and we'll see how many people come back and verify either 50, 51, 52, 53, how many. So let's see how many of you come back and see the number of times Holy Father or Holy Father is used, John 13 through 17. But look at him. He says, Holy Father, hey, Dad, keep them in your name. They're going to go through some really difficult things. I want you to keep them in your name. Watch them. Watch over them. This is a shepherding term. I'll come back and get this at the next verse. Keep them in your name. The name or the character which you have given me so that they may know that we are one. What's verse 11? Unity. As the shepherd goes, the sheep are going to want to pull and to become divided. Jesus' prayer from now on through the rest of the chapter is for unity. First part, Jesus is a reflection. He's taking God's good name and character, and he's demonstrating that and showing that to the world. He's also going to give us revelation. He's going to share with us what we are to share. He's got some things that we need to say. Jesus is still praying, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you had given me, and I guarded them. This is a shepherding term. Remember from the previous verse 11? Keep them, and now we're guarding them. Jesus is the good shepherd, and Jesus looks at the disciples as a group of sheep. I don't know much about shepherding. I read about it on Google, and I read it on about Wikipedia, so that makes me a shepherd. Right? If I had time, I'd watch a documentary on YouTube and I'd be an expert. So I don't know much about sheep, but I do know that a shepherd's job is twofold. The first job is to provide food and water for the sheep. 23rd Psalm. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and beside still waters, he restores my soul. What also is a shepherd to do? He's to fight off the wolves. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If a lion, a tiger, a bear, a wolf, a coyote, they come, the shepherd takes his weapon and fights off the wolves. Jesus is saying here, I've guarded these disciples. I fed them. Ultimately, I fed them, Lord, through your word. I've taught them what they need to know. I've helped them understand your truth. And also, I have guarded them from the evil, from the wolves that want to destroy them. A shepherd's job is to feed the flock and sometimes fight off the wolves. And Jesus is praying for his disciples, I have guarded them. I've watched them, I protected them, I nurtured them. None of them got away, but look what he says. Not one of them perished, but the son of perdition. Who's the son of perdition? His name starts with a J and rhymes with Judas. His name is?
Judas.
Ah, there we go. Only one walked away. But scripture fulfilled this back in Psalm chapter 41. Jesus says, God, Dad, I've fed my sheep that you have given me. Not one of them's walked away except the one that we knew would walk away. And that's been fulfilled back in Psalms, specifically Psalm 51. So I've guarded them. I've come to them. I've nurtured them. And now I come to you. It's time for me to leave the disciples or the sheep and come to you through the cross. And these things I speak in the world so that they may have joy. Sometimes we greet each other and we say, how are you doing? Good. How are you doing? Good. Well, sometimes we're doing good. And in about 3 or 4 months, that's going to change. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to start complaining about snow. Don't ever do that again. Oh, how you doing? Oh, it's miserable. Can you believe it's so cold? It's so cold. This is a perfect time to live in Maine. I'm so happy. It's been a beautiful weekend. Great day to be out yesterday. A lot of fun. And we have happiness in our happenings. Had a great morning to kids. They actually loved each other coming to church. It was wonderful. We came to hear about the love of Jesus. Nobody argued down Broadway. It was wonderful to the glory of Jesus. Let's do this every day. Sometimes in our happenings, we're not very happy because the kids, well, they want to kill each other. And about today, you're about ready to let them do it. They ran out of the honey crawlers in the cafe. They ran out of coffee. They ran out of iced tea. All this, the preacher's too long, preacher's too short, whatever. And you ever notice that in our happenings, we ebb and flow? But we're to find joy. And that joy is found in Jesus. And hours before Jesus' trial, flogging, and crucifixion, he says, I want them to have my joy. For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. And he knows what's coming. And he still says, it's joy. Our happiness shouldn't be found in our happenings. Our joy should be found in Jesus. He says, I've given them your word. Jesus came, he heard the word from the Father. He's taken it to them, and now he has given it to the disciples. They have heard your word. I've given them your word. As we go out, we are to be ambassadors and tellers of God's word. I don't know much about God's word. I don't know much about the Bible. Well, you know much more than the culture right now. So tell them what you know. What if I get asked a question I don't know the answer to? Well, then we can help you. Because there's really smart people out there that have studied God's word. So as we go out, we've given them, Jesus says, I've given the disciples your word. As you go out, share, spread, tell God's word. And the world has hated them. Why would the world hate the disciples? Because they are not of this world. They're earthly minded, not eternally focused. And there's conflict. And anytime there's conflict between God and the world, it's because there's two different points of view. And the world doesn't understand what God is saying and doing. And so their response is hatred. And friends, I don't know what happened in the last 5 years, but things have gotten really interesting in this world. And good news, it doesn't get any better, but Jesus wins. And so Jesus is saying, God, Dad, I've given them your word, and the world, they hate them because they're not of this world. Because Jesus is not of this world. So Jesus is going to make a request in verses 15 through 19. This is the request that he makes. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of this world. Here's the thing I don't want. God, don't take them out of the world. Leave them here, but keep them from the evil one. As a parent, I want to make sure my girls don't have any conflict or have any difficulties in life. But friend, Jesus knows what's coming, and he says, leave the disciples here. But as they're here in all this struggle and all these trials, keep them from the evil one. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and the principalities of this world. And as we lean into battle, as we lean into conflict, Jesus is praying for the disciples that they be kept from the evil one. He says, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world, because they're eternally focused, not earthly focused. He says, because they're going to be here, sanctify, set them apart. This hammer is set apart for a specific use. It is to pound in a nail. This screwdriver is set apart for a specific use, to screw screws. Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, they are set apart for a special task that is only from God. Set them apart for a special use. Set them apart for a special use in truth. What is truth? Well, everything's truth. Everything's relative. No. In today's culture, God's word is truth. And Jesus is praying to God the Father, saying, it's going to get really bad for them. Set them apart that they may know your word. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Mark them in truth. God's word is truth. The great evangelist D.L. Moody, he said this. He said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Don't allow your lives to stray from God's word. Jesus prays in verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. If the disciples aren't here, friends, then no one's here to tell the good news. So Jesus is dispatching them to send them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also be made sanctified in truth. Three questions based upon this passage. The first one, am I reflecting God? Jesus came to manifest or display the character of God. How are you doing with that? My response is always, let me answer that for the person beside me. I'd love to talk about you, but I want you to reflect on yourself. Are you reflecting God? Second one, are you sharing God's word? Jesus always shared God's truth. And the third one, Jesus prayed specific prayer requests. Who are you going to pray for specifically? In this passage, Jesus prayed for the disciples. Who are you going to pray for? Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for your truth. Lord, help us to go out and to display and manifest your character. Help us to show your truth, to share your word with a world that so desperately needs to hear. And Lord, help us to pray for people specifically. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.